Thank you, Mr. Brown. Thank you for coming, everyone. And thank you, young men, for asking me to speak at your graduation. It's a real honor for me to do so. I love these young men. They're wonderful young men. And we had a great year this year. We really have. Some time ago, I spoke on four different messages in my church on how the truth can set you free. How the truth can set you free. Tonight, for this graduation service, I want to preach a message entitled, How to Make the Truth Stick. Now, the reason I want to use that is, have you ever wondered, now guys, I love you, okay, I really do, but have you ever wondered if teenagers' minds have a non-stick coating? Have you ever wondered about that? I mean, for many, information tends to enter into one ear, slide around a little bit without taking hold, and goes right out the other ear. I have proof of that. I teach geometry. And in my geometry class, it's a wonderful class. We have 12 students in that class, and it's a great class. But I'll say, okay, kids, now don't forget, Tuesday, we're going to have a quiz, and we're going to have a quiz over Theorem 17 through 27. All right, everybody got that? Make sure that's in your notes, please, and be ready and have those down because it's going to be very important. The tests are going to be about those things, all right? About 3 minutes later. Pastor. I don't dare point to anybody. Can I help you? I just like to know that when we have the test, are Theorem 17 through 27 going to be on the test at all? I said, didn't I just say that 3 minutes ago? You see, that's why teen parents worry so much. With the spiritual truths that my kids have learned at Harvest Temple Christian Academy at church, the things they've been handed down for years, will they suddenly slip out of the minds of my children, especially when they need them most? Or will those spiritual truths really stick? We as parents, we as pastors and youth directors and so on, we honestly want the truth to stick. Let's use Ezra. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Ezra chapter 7. Only one verse. It's verse number 10. If you will, stand together, please, and let's just kind of rest ourselves a bit, and we'll, in honor of the Word of God, just stand as we read this particular passage, how to make the truth stick. This is Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your great love to us. Lord, I love these four young men. What a blessing they have been to my life. And I appreciate them so very much. Would you bless this service now? Give me wisdom and instruction to give to them in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I only have three Roman numerals, and so we'll start right off. Roman numeral number one, some background information just very quickly. In many ways, Ezra's situation is similar to those of us who are Christians today. Having grown up in Babylon, he had just moved with his nation to study and work in Jerusalem. And you see that in Ezra chapter 7, 6, 7, and 8. Young people are also in transition. These young men are in transition. One day you were all in transition too, but it's now these four young men who are in a great transition period. They're going to leave the familiar and go to the unfamiliar. They're going to move from the protected area of the home and of the Christian school and that wonderful environment into a new world that they haven't ever experienced before. Not knowing what to expect can make us a little tense and sometimes guarded, fellas. But Ezra, too, was in the time of transition. Another similarity is that Ezra was well acquainted with God's truth. He was a scribe, it says in verse number 6, and he was skilled in the law of Moses. From childhood, he had studied the scriptures, and as a scribe, he knew better than most anyone else the words. the words of God. Many Christian young people who go through a Christian school like these guys can explain things about God and the stories about the Bible better than some adults because they've been around it for years. Just like Ezra, he knew it. And some of these young men know it. You've been taught God's word ever since you've been really young, fellas. Not just at church, but also in your home. A final point of comparison is that Ezra walked with the Lord. Three times in chapter 7, it says that the hand of the Lord was on Ezra. In fact, verse 6, verse 9, and verse 28, it says that. Many Christian teens like yourself can also see the hand of the Lord on their lives. I appreciate your speeches. Boy, they were wonderful for me to hear. How you thank God for what happened in your life and how you've improved and what's happened and what you want to become and what you want to do for God. Those are all great things to hear. So many Christian teens can also see the hand of God on their lives like you. You've trusted Christ for salvation. You've been baptized in water. You probably know more about the Bible than some other Christian adults. But God wants you now. Now listen, everybody. God wants them to cultivate what they know. It's important to be able to cultivate, fellas, what you know. And God wants to slip His hand into your hand. And He wants to lead you in the paths of ministry where you can produce fruit for wisdom as you mature in Him. Ezra, in the Word of God, clung to his wealth of knowledge by developing four character traits, four secrets for making the truth stick. I'm telling you, every one of us in this room need to figure out, how can we make the truth stick? So oftentimes we'll preach just like we do in class. We'll teach a lesson, and the kids don't get it at all. How can we make it stick? Secrets for making the truth stick. Roman numeral 2. What are some secrets for making the truth stick? Well, in chapter 7, verse number 10, it's actually the verse that's got all three of them. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Let's kind of magnify each of those sections of this verse to examine Ezra's life in a little greater detail here. Guys, listen. How you make the truth stick is you've got to make, first of all, a personal commitment. Everybody in this room, if you're going to make the truth of God's Word stick, you must make a personal commitment to Almighty God. It must be real. The first thing we notice about Ezra is that he made a personal commitment. He set his heart. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Remember Daniel? If you get that up for me, Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. But Daniel, this is back in the Old Testament. Daniel, the man of God, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with a wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel, even as a teenager, guys, pledged himself to, in a similar way, I am going to prepare my heart to seek the Lord. One of the things we send you to a Christian school for, and I think everybody should say amen to this in this room, is one of the reasons we send our kids to Christian schools is so they are getting a foundation of education with biblical concepts where we can turn our lives to God and serve the God of heaven and know God. We're not trying to raise kids in a Christian school to serve the devil. We're trying to get them to know God. We're trying to get them, guys, to say, listen, preacher, you're exactly right. I'm sold on the idea. I am going to live for God. Make a personal commitment. A Christian that God uses in a powerful way always begins their journey by making their minds up to follow Christ. Even if it means sailing against the popular currents of their day, and you will sail against the popular currents of your day every year of your life. In church, floating with Christian crowd is really kind of easy. But outside of church, when it's not the Christian crowd and you don't have Sunday school teachers, you don't have Christian school teachers, now you're going to be out there in the world where you have ungodly folks swearing at you every day. You got to decide, I'm going to make a commitment to follow Christ. They're going to tell their dirty jokes. They're going to talk about their filthy language. You got to say, I'm making a commitment to serve God. Young people must individually make up their minds to follow the Lord. Nobody else can make that decision but them. Hey, guys, nobody can make that but you. Listen, you know what I did that when I was 16 years of age? When I was 16 years of age, I said, I am going to serve God, and I'm going to do something for the Lord. I appreciate what you guys said up here a moment ago, how that you're going to do something for God, and it was because of God. Don't forget that. Now, the world will try to turn that around. Won't the world try to turn that around? The world will try to turn that around and say, oh, it's not God. It's not your Christian foundation. It's this or it's that. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's God. Make a commitment to God. If the truth is ever going to stick, you got to make that commitment to God. Number two, he became a loyal student of Scripture. In that particular verse, it says this one more time. But Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He became a student of the Scripture. That is such a wonderful thing, guys, to become a student yourself. One of the quickest ways to take the fun out of Christianity is to stop studying the Bible. When I was 16 years old, I was memorizing Scripture and trying to get sermons prepared. And as I studied the Bible, all of a sudden, things came to me that I'd never even seen before. It got exciting to study the Bible. It's much better than just coming to church and hearing somebody else's spiritual meal that's going to be served. Now, you need to go to church, and you need to hear that spiritual meal. But when you do it yourself, you sit down and you heartily eat the Word of God, I'm telling you, there's something about that. There's something about that in your life. It'll change your life. You say, well, I've never done that. Well, try it sometime. Just try it. It really works. Get the Bible yourself. Taste and see the Lord is good. Studying still takes discipline. And discovering God's truth becomes more meaningful and joyful when you do it yourself. So help your moms and dads. Moms and dads, help your child. If your child doesn't have a Bible, get them a Bible. It's a gift worth giving. The Word of God. Number three, letter C, he put the truth into action. Notice the third thing, Ezra not only studied the Scriptures, he set his heart to practice it. So he made a personal commitment, guys. He became a loyal student of the Scriptures, and then he put the truth into action. It's so important to understand this. The truth will stick. Look at James chapter 1, verse 22. Here's what it says, but be ye doers of the word. I believe this with all of my heart. The word of God will stick to those who do it. If you don't do it, the word of God will not stick. How to make the truth stick? The truth. Oh, knowing the truth will set you free. And so, okay, so I go to church and I hear it. And I hear it preached. Now start doing what you hear. And as you do what you hear, the truth will stick. You become a believer of the Word of God. Be a doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Look at verse 23, 24, and 25. For if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh at the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Imagine. Now, I've got a little more hair than some of you, but sometimes when I get out of bed, I'm sorry to tell you this, but my head's flat on this side. I lay on this side a lot, evidently. So this side is flat, and this side's sticking up. I know you can't hardly imagine it, but it really does look like that. Now imagine getting up in the morning and having your head flat on this side and sticking up on this side. You get out of bed, and as you get out of bed with your hair looking like that, you stand straight up. Your eyes are puffy. Your breath would knock your dog over. You got little pillow creases in your cheek where you've been sleeping all night. You know what I'm talking about, right? And then you walk in the bathroom and you flip on a light and you look in the mirror and you go, ah! And then you shut the light off and get dressed and go to work or school. Now, how silly would that be? How silly would that be? Nobody here would do that, would you? And yet the Bible says that's exactly what's happening to young people and moms and dads. It's not just young people. We behold ourselves in the mirror and we do nothing. You behold yourself in the mirror of God's Word. And when you behold yourself, guys, in the mirror of God's Word, you must change your life to match the Word. It's so important. I'm going to change my life to match the Word of God. I'm not going to try to change the Word to match me. I'm going to change myself to match the Word. It's hard to believe that anyone, adult or teen, would not want to fix their problems as they see. Yet that's exactly what James is saying. When we look into the mirror of God's Word and see all of our shortcomings and do nothing to correct them. The truth, I'm telling you, means nothing if we don't put it into practice. If you don't, fellas, put truth into practice, all you said up here was a bunch of words, didn't mean a thing. But it's when you put the truth into practice, that's what we're looking for. Young men like yourself, you know, I heard a couple of you say basketball practices were hard, tough, and yet you guys won a lot of ball games. You know why? Because the practices were tough. You'll never get anywhere in life without being tough. You got to put forth the best effort. You just must do it. Letter D, he shared what he learned with others. Now look at those four things. The secrets of making the truth stick. First of all, I've got to make a personal commitment. Secondly, I'm going to become a loyal student of the Word of God. I'm going to put the truth into action. And then I'm going to share with others what I've learned. The other day, some of our girls and some of our guys went soul winning, passing out tracts. That's great. They said, hey, Pastor, can we have nothing else to do. Is it okay if we go down the street, down the block, and pass out tracts? Well, Miss Tammy and I were thinking about that and didn't know if they just wanted to go out and play or did they really want to pass out tracts. Well, they wanted to pass out tracts, and they went and passed out tracts. That's good. That's putting your feet to the pedal and doing something about it. He shared what he learned with others. Ezra's fourth secret for making the truth stick was his setting his heart to teach God's statutes and ordinances in Israel. In other words, he shared what he learned. One of the best ways to learn a secret is to teach someone else the secret. Is to teach. Because then you have to look at it from a completely different perspective. One way to learn a subject is to teach it. When I was a kid, started preaching when I was 16. The more I preached, the more I knew. The more I knew, the better I could preach. It was so much fun knowing and learning how to preach. And I wanted to, more and more. The more I wanted, the more I got. The more I wanted. Yeah. And I'd practice in my haymow all the time. Set bales of hay up and just practice. Boy, they could listen so well. They couldn't say amen much, but they listened well. And I would say, amen, isn't that right? I could hear them say, that's right. Get out there and do it, guys. Do it. Share what you learn with others. Teach it. Get into a class. Get in the choir. Teach a Sunday school. Encourage yourself to be involved. You know, sometimes we need to get involved like that just to confirm in our hearts that we do believe what's right. You'll believe better if you're practicing what you believe. It always works. Sometimes we think we already know what Christianity is all about, but we don't. Not until we get out there and really, really practice it. Here's a final word. If you have a Bible, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 55, everybody, if you have a Bible. We recognize that trying to help young people absorb God's truth sometimes can be frustrating. We all know that. Whether it's teaching them geometry or English or the Bible, sometimes it can be very, very frustrating. Sometimes they can appear like they're disinterested, uncaring, ungrateful. Sometimes that's how they make us feel as teachers or leaders or parents. But as a result, guys, did you understand that some parents and teachers are afraid that their love and teaching will escape your life as a teen? And all they did for you won't work at all, won't produce any fruit. Now, Mom and Dad, if you feel like that, I want to give you some comfort. I want you to look First of all, have it on the screen, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians first, Don, if you will. Look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Would you look at that verse of Scripture? Everybody who's a parent, everybody who's a leader, everybody who's a preacher, everybody who's a teacher, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Something's happening. A seed's been planted. This morning, we had in our church service two young men who used to play for me basketball back in the 80s. And they both had gotten away from the Lord and had lived lives away from church and away from God. And that one young man had gotten into the military, had gone into the Navy. And Greg had spent 20 years in the Navy. He's out now. He's retired. He's 40 years old, retired from the Navy. And I said, Greg, hey, how you doing? Here's what he did. Now, look what he did, guys. I took my hand. I said, hey, Greg, good to see you. He said, oh, that ain't good enough. And he put his big old arms around me and hugged me and said, preacher, I just love you so much. Thank you for putting up with me. Woo. I said, wow. Man, you changed a bit, Greg. He said, well, I wanted you to know. I stopped by. We're going to see my son graduate from boot camp. His son is graduating from boot camp this week of the Great Lakes. And he said, I wanted to come by. I told my wife, Linda. Linda came to school here also. He said, I wanted to go by and see a preacher. Tell him I love him. And let him know that I'm studying the ministry. I said, you're what? He said, Brother Lewis, God's really changed my life. He said, you know, there's a scripture verse that you ought to encourage all your parents. He didn't know I was speaking tonight. He said, but God always brings it around. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. He said, Mom and Dad ought to keep teaching. Even though it doesn't seem like it's going to work, keep teaching. He said, Linda and I are in a good church down in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida. We're doing something for God. We're both working in the church. And he said, Pastor, I love it. He said, I'm studying to be a youth minister. I want to help teens. He said, we're in Jacksonville, Florida. He said, it's nasty down there. He said, we have drug heads all the time coming in, alcoholics, just young kids. But he said, I really want to help. I said, whew. My wife hugged him. She started crying and said, Greg, we've prayed for you forever. And he said, Mrs. Lewis, it's worked. He said, we're really doing for God what we should be. Listen, don't give up. Come on, amen. Look at Isaiah 55 now, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Look at verse number 11, please. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Sometimes I think teenagers' minds are as slick as ice. I think, wow, they're as slick as ice. But God's truth, like a branch flung out on a frozen lake, will eventually sink in when the pressures of growing up begin to melt. Their resistance, the truth will sink in. And that's what Greg said. Said, preacher, I'll never forget what you taught us. Wow. I said, that's amazing. Guys, let me tell you today. Mom and Dad, when you least expect it, you already had some of that tonight. Mom, I love you. Mom, I love you. I heard the boys say it. You've done so much for me. I can never repay you. Blake cried a duck. Talking about his grandmother. That's sweet stuff right there. I love my grandma. She meant something to me. There'll be a day when your kids will come home and they'll say, even when you wasn't thinking I was paying attention, I was. Even though you didn't think I cared, Mom, Dad, I did. When you didn't know I was interested, I was. And now that I've gone through some tough times myself, Mom and Dad just want to thank you. They'll say that again and again and again. Guys, make the truth stick. Get in this book, love the book, make it stick. Make a personal commitment. Become a loyal student of the Scriptures. Put truth into action. And share what you learn with others. Hey, but Mom and Dad, that's good instruction for you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Now bless these young men. We love them in Jesus' name. Amen.